knowledge fight.
And Jordan, I am sweating. KnowledgeFight.com. It's time to pray.
I have great respect for Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight. I'm sick of them posing as if they're the good guys, saying we are the bad guys. Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan.
Knowledge Fight.
I need money. Andy and Kansas. Stop it. Andy and Kansas. Andy. It's time to pray. Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
Knowledge Fight.
KnowledgeFight.com. I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes like to sit around, worship at the altar of Selene, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Oh, indeed we are, Dan.
Jordan.
Dan.
Jordan.
Quick question for you.
What's up?
What's your bright spot today, buddy?
My bright spot today is that I beat Donkey Kong Bonanza.
Oh, shit.
Yep. Got to the end.
Nice.
Finished it off. I'll give a little bit of a spoiler warning here.
Yeah.
So if you don't want to be spoiled about this game.
The story of a monkey smashing the earth?
That's a lot of it. That's a lot of the mechanics of the game. But the story is a bit more about a young lady finding her voice.
Okay. All right. Well, that's nice.
Yeah, Pauline.
Oh, that's right.
So anyway, if you don't want to have this spoiled, skip ahead.
Okay.
But anyway, I feel like I think I'm going to cut all of this out because I think it is too spoilery. So anyway, what's happened here is I have just cut out a bunch of spoilers because I gave a spoiler warning.
Yep.
But I also think they were too spoilery.
Too spoilery. You can give a fire warning, but if you walk into an oven, maybe the warning wasn't strong enough. Maybe the warning should have been stronger, like a wall.
Yeah. I think the experience of playing the game would be too fun for some people, and they might accidentally have it ruined by whatever thoughts I have.
I'll share
them down the line
at
some point.
Of course.
But I think it's fantastic. A lot of fun.
Yeah.
Tropical Freeze was great.
Yeah.
And now this is great.
Yeah.
They're doing good. The Donkey Kong franchise is on a good
I hesitate
ground.
To do this because it feels very cliche. But at the same time, come on, fuck it. Let's do it. We're a podcast. What's your favorite? What's the top of the ranks? What's the best Donkey Kong?
Well, see, it's tough because the Tropical Freeze, Donkey Kong Country Returns.
Sure.
They're very
They've got some bangers.
Well, they're also like very different styles of game.
True.
And then this is a very different style of game.
Yeah.
I would say that the best is Donkey Kong Country 2.
Okay.
I think that's and some of that has to do with my age.
Sure.
But it refined things from Donkey Kong Country 1.
Yep.
And then didn't have that annoying-ass Kitty Kong that they had in 3.
It helps.
And I think it was just the perfect balance of all the things that they were doing with the Country franchise.
Yeah.
64 is the worst.
Yep.
That's for sure. Yeah. I was thinking about this as I was playing it. I was like, I don't think that there's ever been a Donkey Kong game that I haven't 100%ed.
Really?
So now I'm going to have to get all the bananas in this
thing. It does feel like you're going to have to do that now.
Yeah.
That's nice. Otherwise, you would have to, I mean, you could play it again, but otherwise you would really just kind of have to put it down, having completed the experience.
Well, there are things after the end game.
There you go.
To find. But, Triumph. Donkey Kong Country 2 still reigns at the top of the charts. Yeah. What about you? What do you think?
What do I think?
What's your favorite Donkey Kong game?
I mean, I haven't played the new one. I haven't played since 64. 64 was the last one that I played. Because I left the Nintendo ecosystem, I guess. Like, I've not realized fully what had happened, but
did a Wii.
I was never in a Wii. I tried the N64. I enjoyed it. Then I very much didn't enjoy it, and then I was done with Nintendo.
So you didn't even GameCube, you didn't Wii, you didn't Wii U?
Uh-uh. No, it all left behind. All of it.
There's a lot of stuff that you missed, for better and for worse, in that stretch. There's a lot of... Wii U was a tough era.
It wasn't until the Switch, right? And then the Switch had been out for a long time, and then I got a Switch. And it wasn't until then that I realized, like, I didn't need any of that other stuff.
They did innovate a lot of things that you're now benefiting from.
Totally.
But yeah, some of those systems and some of the games are a little bit clunky. But there's some winners in there, like Super Mario Galaxy, Luigi's Mansion.
Absolutely. I've heard good things. I mean, it's like 15 years of a company.
Wind Waker.
Yeah, they've been all right. It's not like they went out of business, and I'm correct.
Pikmin? You didn't even play Pikmin?
I did not. I did not.
So anyway, yeah, what's your bright spot?
My bright spot is my vape, my dry THC vape, right?
Why don't you wet that thing up a little bit?
Because I don't want smoke. Gotta have vapor, whatever.
It seems like you would want it to be wet then, if you want vapor.
No.
Vapor is water.
Right, I understand that. I understand the concept.
This dry thing is stuck in my head now.
It's a convection oven, right. I think. Is that what it is?
Sure.
Whatever.
Air fryer.
It's an air fryer. It's an air fryer that you fry weed in.
Yeah.
But it broke.
Oh, no.
And then I was like, shit, these are pretty expensive, so I'm going to have to go buy a new one. And then I looked it up, and they replace one for free, right? Which is like...
That's crazy.
It is so sad. Well, one, it means that obviously they're very cheap to produce with a high markup, but that's fine. Whatever. You're going to live. But to me, that is like the thing that makes sense. If you break it too soon, we'll give you another one. It's probably our fault. Doesn't matter if it is or not.
How soon are we talking?
Less than 2 years.
Oh.
About a year and a half or something like that.
For a weed smoking device?
They're supposed to last more than three.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. 2 years, I think you got a good run.
I agree. Yeah. I was all ready to buy a new one.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's why it's my bright spot.
Yeah, that is
because
nice.
I was ready to buy. I was like, this was a great product. It worked fine. I'll get another one. It busted. That shit happens.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got one. And that's just great.
Yeah.
That's just great.
Well, I think maybe the people who run that company got high and they were like,
always
got
possible.
Really anxious about like, what do people think about us if we don't have a 3-year warranty? We got to go three.
I mean, it is one of those things that has like such a satisfying, okay. Like playing Mario, you get a mushroom, you get a bonus, basically, right? You get hit once,
you
now you're small mushroom.
But you also
again.
Get big.
You get big,
yeah.
But then you get hit. You're small Mario. Then you get hit again. You're dead.
Mm-hmm.
You know in advance, I got two strokes.
Yeah.
I got one and I got one in the back chamber.
Yeah. That's really how I played a bit of Diablo, the newest season in hardcore mode.
Yeah.
And that's how I feel like it should be.
Yeah.
You get one.
You get one.
Yeah.
One is fair.
Yeah.
I feel like one is fair. And then it's on me.
Yeah. Yeah. Your weed smoking device, you get one replacement.
You get one.
You die once with a hardcore character.
Yeah.
You're fine.
And then if it's like 5 years later, come on, buddy.
Mm.
You're being unreasonable.
Yeah.
I'm fine with it. Yeah. It works.
So unreasonable is the word of the day.
Yes.
Because today we are jumping to July 7th,
ooh.
2025. The
ooh.
Day that the FBI done stepped in it.
Oh, my God. I can't believe that was more than 3 weeks ago.
Yeah. It's pretty crazy. It's pretty, pretty wild.
Time is just unwilling to stop.
Yeah. Also, the anniversary of the day that I cried on the streets of Athens while watching Cat Stevens perform at the climate change concert that was held worldwide.
Yeah.
There was a big screen up in Athens,
yeah,
and I was
told me
drunk
about
on the street drinking a Mythos beer, weeping while he sang Wild World.
It's very beautiful.
Yeah.
I mean, look.
7707.
There are plenty of reasons to cry. That's one of the more worthwhile ones.
Yeah.
No.
Too many beers.
Cat Stevens.
Yep.
Saving climate.
Yep.
All over.
So we're going to check in with what Alex was doing on the anniversary of my experience on the streets of Athens.
Okay.
But first, let's take a little moment to say hello to some new wonks.
Oh, that's a great idea.
So first, to Joe in London from Eric in South Carolina, baseball is better than cricket. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, hey, Shay, it's pronounced guacamole. P.S., you're now a policy wonk. Love the bathtub buddy Mel. Thank you so much. Love your bathtub buddy Mel. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And you belong to the Night City. What's up, my knowledge fight chooms? Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And we got a technocrat in the mix,
ooh.
Jordan. So thank you so much to Matt in Melbourne. You're my Andy in Kansas. I love you from Braun. Thank you so much. You're now a technocrat.
I'm a policy wonk.
4 stars. Go home to your mother and tell her you're brilliant.
Someone sodomite sent me a bucket of poop.
Daddy Shark. Bom, 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 bom. Jar Jar Binks has a Caribbean black accent.
He's a loser little titty baby.
I don't want to hate black people. I renounce Jesus Christ.
Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you very much.
I am cold reading these names, so I had to just now Google Chooms.
Oh,
to make
yeah,
sure it's
actually,
not something.
No, actually, I was going to tell you about that. I forgot about that. I was going to tell you about that after the show.
Scared me.
Cyberpunk 2077. I've heard it actually works really well on the Switch, too. Mm. So you might finally enjoy it.
No, I did enjoy it for
oh,
a bit.
Did you?
I just
yeah,
fell
that's
off
right.
it. I
that's
played
right.
it for a little bit, just not as much as you.
Right, yeah.
But yeah, hey, I didn't get to the point where that I absorbed that slang. That's
yeah,
for sure.
There you go.
So, today, sad day.
Sad day.
Very, very messed up day.
Mm.
On the 7th, this day, the FBI released a memo that was, quote, part of our commitment to transparency. They announced that they had, quote, conducted digital searches of databases, hard drives, and network drives, as well as physical searches of squad areas, locked cabinets, desks, closets, and other areas where responsive material may have been stored. They reviewed over 300 gigabytes of data. And they concluded that it was a ton of content of Epstein abusing children, but said that there was no client list. On top of that, quote, there was no credible evidence found that Epstein blackmailed prominent individuals as part of his actions, and, quote, we did not uncover evidence that could predicate an investigation against uncharged third parties.
What are you going to do?
Ultimately, they decided, quote, it is the determination of the Department of Justice and the Federal Bureau of Investigation that no further disclosure would be appropriate or warranted. Also, they said that Epstein killed himself, and there's no reason to be suspicious about that. There's no other way to put this than to say that this was a nuke being dropped on the right-wing media. There was nothing that CNN or Obama or Antifa could possibly do that would cause as much damage to their morale as Trump's Department of Justice did with that one memo.
Yep.
It's hard to stress enough that this was an entirely unforced error. No one expected them to release anything about Epstein, but it was enough for the right-wing media to be able to pretend that Trump was willing to release that stuff, whereas other politicians weren't.
Right.
All he had to do was nothing, and his base would come up with never-ending excuses for how the disclosure was right around the corner. They hadn't all left him after Pam Bondi's PR stunt with the binders, and that speaks volumes. The only thing that the Trump administration could not afford to do was exactly this. They cultivated a fan base of almost entirely conspiracy theorists, then issued a statement that said that there's nothing to see here about the biggest conspiracy in their world. And it's not only the biggest, it's also the one that these people care the most about, because conspiracies involving crimes against children affect people on a deeply emotional level. People who commit that category of crimes provoke a visceral, violent response in people that has a tendency to blur out critical thinking. So using these accusations is tremendously powerful, which is why the Trump campaign promised we're going to bring vengeance to
sure,
all these people.
Sure, sure, for sure.
By releasing this memo, the Trump administration had taken this violent, visceral reaction that it had used to manipulate their audience for the past decade and directed it towards themselves. It was an unthinkably stupid decision, and it kind of feeds into what Alex was saying on one of our recent episodes about how Trump thinks that he's untouchable. He has this confidence that he can't, nothing matters.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose it remains to be seen.
But I think there's a hubris involved in releasing that kind of memo.
I wonder if, listen, the only possible reason to do this that would make sense is if you are about to do something so much worse. So the reason that you do this, right, is you've got your base, you've given them everything that they want, which is, I don't know, whatever they're screaming for, and then this one thing, you rip it away from them. And if they don't do anything about it, you own them forever, so you can do whatever the fuck you want from here on out. So unless the right wing steps up and stops them, man, horrible shit's coming.
I guess that is, you know, whether or not that would be a way this fits into a plan, there is certainly a reality that we have to experience that, like, if this is fine, then anything's
yeah,
fine.
They own you. They yeah. own you.
Yeah, you
yeah.
got no political identity
yep.
outside of this one fucking dude.
Either you step up to this one specific situation, which is, again, the only thing you didn't really have to touch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as long as this was an imaginary situation that could happen. happen. Mm-hmm. You didn't even have to say anything. People would be like, eh, but he'll release him when it's time to, or when he's about to die, or blah, 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 you know, whatever.
Right. There are a million excuses that everyone in this hashtag save the children yep. kind of space, they can make for why things are coming later. It's down the road.
Absolutely.
You know, that will never tire.
Yep.
But you can't do this. You can't be like, there's nothing to see here. No conspiracy.
Nope. Unless you succeed at it, you take away everything from them. And then, like, once they all quiet down, like a week later, be like, hey, guess what? We're killing everybody's grandma. What are you going to do? Fucking nothing. Man. You know?
So social media exploded after this memo came out. And here's how Alex started the show on the 7th.
Today, it's Monday, July 7th, 2025. I'm your host, Alex Jones. And all hell, as you know, has broken loose. We are entering the 168th day of Trump being sworn in. Almost the hour, 168 days ago. All right, obviously everyone is tuned in, and we're going to have probably instead of 20 million viewers and listeners today, probably 40 million, because everybody wants to obviously know what I'm going to say and what my guests are going to say about the Epstein, DOJ, Trump administration cover-up. And that's what it is, make no mistake. And more than just that, it is a joining with the entire conspiracy.
Ooh, bad times.
Yes!
Oh, bad times.
Thank you!
The stakes of this are almost unimaginable from Alex's position. If this memo has come out, and it has, then you're faced with an immediate impossible decision. Do you give up on years of coverage about Epstein and all the side narratives that go into that? Or do you just quit fucking around and admit that you know that Trump and Epstein were best friends?
Yep.
This is kind of the equivalent of Alex and his buddies receiving news that their whole Trump thing has a terminal diagnosis. And Alex is kind of working through the steps of DABDA. When Elon tweeted out that Trump was in the Epstein files, Alex responded with denial. Pretty much every day he gets into some kind of an anger. He tried to bargain by constantly pumping up all the supposed good things Trump was doing to distract from the really bad stuff, like bombing Iran.
Yep.
He got depressed pretty regularly, and now it seems like he's getting close to reaching acceptance. He's saying on air that Trump is literally part of a cover-up plot with the devil.
Mm.
Jeffrey Epstein worked for the devil.
Yep.
So if Trump's doing this shit, then he does too. Or at best, he's compromised enough that the devil has leverage enough to work out a deal.
Sure.
This is it. The moment when Alex should be shattered. He did the one thing he wasn't really supposed to do, to just champion a single politician. He let following that goal turn him into a clown. And now he's realizing the reason he got turned into a clown is so he can take pies in the face.
Mm.
Like, this is he has to know the reason you have increased viewers is because people want to laugh at you. They want to see, how's he going to get out of this one?
I mean, you know, it's like being in a slow motion dunk tank. You know, like the thing got hit, the bullet was fired, the bullseye was hit, and Alex is falling, but it's happening so goddamn slowly that more and more people are like, how long is this really going to take? Is he going to fall forever?
Mm-hmm.
But he's got to hit the water, man.
But he's also like, as he's falling, he's like, I'm not falling.
Yeah. You're falling. like it is a Wile E. Coyote situation where
Trump would
like,
never let me fall.
You cannot seriously still be running in the air.
Yeah.
You know, you're not, you know, there's no ground under you.
So he's said that Trump is part of the conspiracy now.
He said that he's joined the capital T.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that is strange, and you'd expect maybe he's going to be like, fuck this guy.
Very mad about it, at the very least.
Right, and he recorded a video of himself in his car before the show where he's like, I'm going to throw up. I feel bad. I'm going to throw up. I'm so mad.
You should feel bad.
Yeah, he should be madder than this.
You should be way madder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he starts kicking around the angles, you know, trying to figure out what's
there
going on.
There aren't angles. That's why this sucks so much.
There may be some angles, though. All hope is not totally lost.
Fair enough.
So you may recall that Dan Bongino and Kash Patel came out and did their whole thing where they said that Epstein killed himself.
They were great, yeah.
And the narrative in the right-wing media was that they looked scared.
They looked scared.
Yeah, they looked like they'd been threatened to do that. Yeah. So Alex runs with this a little bit.
The bigger question is, why on earth would Patel, Bongino, a few months ago, we'll get the clip, go on Fox like deer in the headlights, like they were both had guns to their head, hostages. The body language was, this is BS. You couldn't come across as more disingenuous. It completely blew up in their face, and they went around continually doing it on other shows. Now, they're both very smart men. And very smart people obviously wargamed all of that. And it flew 100% in the face of what they'd said previously and what Pam Bondi, the AG, had said literally weeks before that. Hundreds of new victims, videos, Epstein and others raping children. It's so horrible. And then doing a 180 and saying, you know, we're going to release the video soon of Epstein killing himself, then it's not that. And just all this, you could not hurt the Trump administration worse if you tried to.
So maybe Alex hasn't quite reached acceptance. Maybe he's still doing a little bit of bargaining. He's trying to lay out some track for a narrative where there's a huge cover-up going on in the government, and there are all still some good guys in the mix, like Bongino, Patel, maybe Trump.
Sure.
But they war-gamed it out, and pretending to go along with this cover-up is the only way to defeat the cover-up in the long run.
Sure.
This might be more denial than bargaining when it really comes down to it.
You know, how many times have we all heard the, like, you know, it's better to affect change on the inside.
Sure.
It's kind of like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, but with the devil.
But with the devil.
Yeah.
You know, the devil's notorious for having huge weaknesses that you can see very easily.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Open to change.
Yep.
So, Alex can't really continue down this road. He has to just...
You can't. You just can't.
Yeah, so it turns out Trump made a deal with the globalists.
Yeah, there we go.
And obviously, I woke up at 6 a.m. this morning, and this had broken overnight, but out about 6-8 hours, and it was another vicious punch to the stomach. And then it took me a couple hours. I mean, I instantly knew what was going on, but a few hours to process and really think about it. And I know in the main... exactly what's going on. And I made some phone calls to people like Roger Stone and FBI whistleblower Carl Serafin and others, and they all basically concurred with my analysis. In fact, Stone was already saying it before I gave my opinion. I said, what's your opinion?
He did it!
Exactly the same thing. Because it's not our opinion. So, if you want to know exactly what's going on here, in the main, I mean, I know in the 35,000 foot view that there's a lot of particular components, and what you're going to get from me today is just the facts. You can make your own decision about all this, but understanding the way they fell on their sword this way was part of an obvious deal with the deep state to go out and join us in the conspiracy, and then you'll have a deal with us to stop trying to kill Trump and the rest of it. I mean, that's what this is. And we're going to lay it all out straight ahead.
This is actually probably the best Alex can do in this situation. He wants to dissuade the audience from thinking that the explanation for all of this is that Trump is implicated in the Epstein files, and the reason we're not seeing any disclosures is because it would reveal things about him that are really bad. You want to avoid this kind of thinking, because if that's true, then you have to start asking yourself about how much did Alex knowingly cover that up to promote Trump, while trying to whip the listeners into a hysteria about how Democrats were all child abusers. If the Trump administration is involved in a cover-up here, you also have to start asking hard questions about how they appear to be willing to use lies and cover-ups to serve their personal interests. You pull this thread, and quickly Trump appears to be a really shitty leader, even if you like the deportations.
Yep.
Like, this is a disaster.
Yep.
Alex's idea that Trump accepted a deal so the globalists would stop trying to kill him is awful, but I think it's the best option he has. It maintains the illusion that Alex has been straight up in his coverage and that Trump wasn't abusing people with Epstein. He's guilty of something very corrupt and bad, but it's only the strategic deal with the devil, not willful association and collaboration with the devil. I respect what Alex is doing, is trying to get bucketfuls of water out of the sinking ship, but it's not worth the effort in the end. It's the only thing you have at your disposal while the ship is sinking. You have a bucket in your hand. You might try to bail it out.
Yeah.
It's not going to work. You're sinking.
I mean, yeah, it is. It is like this is maybe the culmination of what since the 90s. So let's call it probably 40 years of creating a completely alternate reality, which they've set all of these people inside. This is it. If we can actually look all of you in the face and tell you something that you know is not true, you know this is, you know it's not true. Mm. For whatever reason you want, we are all in united, finally, they're absolutely lying to us for whatever reason, and then say, you guys have to just eat it.
Mm-hmm.
That's, I mean, how can you do this? This is literally the most obviously untrue thing ever.
I'm struggling to come up with an adjective. I think Orwellian comes to mind.
Legendarily.
You have to add an adverb in there.
You have to kick it up a notch.
Mm-hmm.
Emeril Lagasse needs to give this a
bam.
Boom. Yeah.
Boom?
I'm sorry. I was having a day.
What the fuck?
Sorry. I missed it.
Bam.
Bam. I know what it is. Jesus.
So Alex's conception of what happened mm-hmm. is that Trump went around, got some intel together,
mm-hmm.
and then put a gun to the head of the globalists.
All right.
It's like, hey, look at this gun. It's full of all the Epstein information.
Right.
I was right at your head.
Right. But then they had a real gun at his head?
I guess. Anyway, somehow they made a deal out of it.
Okay.
That said, here's the summation of what's going on, and then I'm going to walk through it all. They knew the Democrats under Comey and his daughter in New York had this giant trove.
Trosh.
That they gleaned from the Caribbean and New Mexico and New York out of the lairs of Jeffrey Epstein. And so when they didn't turn it over, they raided them now 4 months ago. And then Bondi went on Fox News and said, yes, there's thousands of files, meaning computer files, video files, you name it. It's terrible children abuse and will come out. And then she got caught undercover, basically even elaborating. And then when she knew that video was coming out, she talked about it at a press conference a few days later. That was James O'Keefe. And there had been rumblings in D.C. about an ongoing cover-up. We knew it was going on previously. And I said, it's too early to tell. We got to see. And then when Bondi, we confirmed this from Serafin and others, sent the files out to offices around the country, which is what you do if you're going to start investigating something. That's how the law works. A few months later, I talked to Serafin and other sources. They said, no one's working on it. So what they did is load the gun, cock the gun, put it to the deep state CIA head. That's what this is. And Trump's got his guy supposedly Ratcliffe over there. And they said, make a deal with us and basically roll over and surrender and stop your deep state attacks. And we were elected, let us run things, and we'll shut this down. That's what happened.
That's bad. So this is kind of nice work from Alex in terms of like what materials he has to work with.
I mean,
pointless.
Yeah. Yeah. This guy was chosen by God. He can't now be this.
Well, Alex was chosen by God, too, and he sucks.
That's fair. God's weird.
He's doing his best to spin the non-release of Epstein files and the cover-up of their existence as a heroic act on the Trump administration's part. But this just doesn't hold water. Alex is essentially asking the audience to think of the Epstein files as collateral damage. sure, we all wanted to see the people who worked with Epstein brought to justice, and that was a super important thing to have happen since they were running the CIA Mossad Satan blackmail ring that was critical to keeping politicians in line and voting against the public's best interest, which kind of explain all the things that are bad in the world. So it seems important that we'd want to expose all this.
High up on the list.
Trump solved that mystery. He has all the evidence, and instead of bringing it to light and prosecuting people, he's chosen to blackmail the blackmailers into stopping with their blackmail.
Yeah.
Cool.
You know how like the heroes in movies do.
Yeah. This memo is too much for Alex to spin. Releasing the Epstein stuff was the central rallying cry of his world for years, and what the Trump administration put out is a slap in the face to that base. The correct move here is to cut bait and do it hard. No more Roger Stone interviews, no more excuses for Trump's bullshit. Alex has to move on or he's gonna drown.
Scorched earth.
Yeah.
Everything is burnt. All the bridges that you've ever seen, burnt.
Mm-hmm.
Gone. Get them out of here.
Yeah. And like, okay, like, I think that you'd have to end up being like, well, Roger fucked me. But yeah, that's what he does. Everyone would accept that answer.
He's famous.
Yeah.
For the one thing.
Yeah. The only downside to that is Alex having to be like a little bit humble about like, I got tricked.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, you've had so many idiots on your show over the years.
Yeah.
Steve Pachenik tricked you over and over and over and over again.
Yep.
It doesn't, there's no permanent record. Move on.
Yeah, there's this woman wrote a memoir recently about her time in a cult. She was in a Korean Christian cult kind of thing going on. And at the near the end of the time, she was staying with her mom, and she invited a cult deprogrammer over, and they spent they did the 2 days thing where they're talking and talking and talking. But she was just talking about how when she finally let the moment happen, where she was tired, they've been doing this whole thing, and she was finally like, this guy was lying to me, and the relief of just allowing that out, mm-hmm. you know, just the relief of just allowing what should be not even a very complicated thing to allow out, just to say it, like, oh, you guys just got to do it.
Yeah.
You just got
to
do it.
I think that's the challenge that's in front of Alex, and huh. I don't think he's up to it. I think he'll do anything other than that.
And a lot of people do.
So this next clip is kind of gross, and I don't enjoy playing clips like this typically, but here is Alex talking about the murder of children.
Great.
And I'm playing this largely because this is what Alex is saying Trump made a deal with.
You can see Elon Musk has got a good soul. You can see most of his actions are good. But the point is that he looked really freaked out. And really shaken up. And I'm sure at the level he was at, he was read in on what was about to happen. Now, he says Trump is on the list. The list is a dumb way of putting it. There are houses, that's in the FBI reports, houses full. You could, the quote was, you could fill houses with what was at Zorro Ranch alone. Huge safes. We have the photos, file cabinets full of VHS going back decades, DVDs, hard drives, memory sticks, folders listing what it all is. these different world leaders and corporate leaders come to Zorro Ranch, come to Little St. John's Island. They come to the New York dungeon to have sex with children, knowing they're on camera. That is your initiation. Just like MS-13, to get higher up in it, you got to kidnap and kill, rape and kill a little girl for Satan. You know, the old-fashioned Italian mafia, you just got to, you know, kill people. It's not just kill one person and make your bones. You got to proficiently kill, and if you don't kill them and do a good job, it just doesn't happen because you can't do other killings if you didn't do a professional job. So, but you see, that type of mafia was just bound on culture and honor. Well, in the modern age, it's not enough that they, you know, got, okay, this guy's killed 10 people for us. Now we can trust him. No. You got to go in when some 10-year-old that's been used up for 6 months in a dungeon is fighting and going crazy and, you know, and it's, all right, go. They're used up. Go give them a dirt nap. And they make these world leaders and political leaders, they got to go into a dungeon and they got to strangle or shoot or whatever they tell them to do, beat them to death, stab them to death, whatever they tell them. I talk to people, they've seen it, it's come out, it's been in reports, it's not stuff you really see on the news. And they go to these bankers and people, and they tell them, they tell their wives too, listen, remember all that stuff you did, all the kids raping, all the rest of it? We're going to kill you if you don't go to this address, and if you don't go into this room, and if you don't kill these kids we got in cages. And they grab them by the throat and they say, you understand? You wanted into this. You wanted to be part of this. You get in there and you kill them right now. And that's how this thing works. Got it? So grow up. Realize who we're up against. Pure 100% Satanism.
So Alex is laying out this disgusting fantasy he has about what the enemies are up to, and this isn't abnormal content for his show.
Sure.
He does this thing a lot, but I don't really want to play it that often because it's obscene and it's potentially emotionally painful for people to hear,
yeah.
And it really doesn't add much to our understanding of
it's
anything.
It's not flavor, yeah.
But I wanted to play it this time so we can really get a sense of what Alex is saying Trump made a deal with. If what Alex is saying is true, then Trump is guaranteed that the people Alex is describing will never face justice for what they've done.
Mm-hmm.
Trump has made some kind of deal with them about not trying to kill him anymore, but there's no reason to think that the deal he struck was no more of that dungeon stuff.
Mm-hmm.
If the deal Alex is talking about is real, then Trump is acting in his self-interest, and in the process, he's protecting these monsters and enabling them to continue their abuses. Seems like Alex should be able to see that there is no best case scenario for him here. There's no nuanced take for him to have when the enemy is the devil and is doing this shit.
Right.
There isn't anything. There's no middle ground.
Now, let me ask you a question. Say I have just described a person as messianic. Right?
Oh, a couple days ago?
A couple days ago.
Ah.
And then this person now has done something, and my explanation for their behavior, the explanation that I believe puts them in the best light, is they have sacrificed hundreds of thousands of lives in order to save their own.
And in the process...
Much like a messiah.
And in the process may have enabled the thing that is the great evil in the world.
Yep.
To perpetuate itself, to
yep.
continue.
Yep.
Like these gangs are going to continue operating in what Trump's going to get a cut now
yep.
or something.
Yep.
Right? I mean, like.
Yeah, it was a good deal.
What the fuck?
It was a good deal. What? He's a good deal maker.
We hired
a good deal maker.
If
buddy.
This is the best he can do, it really is illustrative of how desperate times this is. Like,
it would be a more interesting religion, I would argue. If Jesus and the devil are out there for 40 days and 40 nights, and then they come back and they're like, you know what? This guy's pretty chill.
Mm.
I like them. He likes me. Maybe we should stop doing this whole good versus evil thing. Maybe we all take a nap today.
Mm.
You know? That'd be an interesting one.
Yeah. Maybe. So anyway, they couldn't come to a deal out in the desert.
Mm.
But Trump, he made this deal, and Alex talks a little more about it.
So my job is to do deep research, have incredible sources, massive historical understanding, and then just tell the truth and let the chips fall where they may. Justice be done, may the heavens fall. You can see the pragmatic angle from Trump if they do start prosecuting all of these world leaders and financial leaders, business leaders, in a giant deep state child rape initiations cult. If all that comes out, what will the aftermath be?
Better
well,
for humanity?
Well, the world will see the United States, the UK, and Europe. And that's how it operates. As pure, absolute, complete scum.
For a good reason?
And so Trump is now using the Epstein files that they have, and we know they have, the videos, all of it, the client list, all of it. houses full. It would fill houses, FBI report. Just Saro Ranch. And it's come out in court. Where did it all go? Well, a bunch of it went to New York. And the Democrats were sitting on it, and the FBI head there. Remember, I dug in. We're at war with Trump. We're not giving them anything. We're not helping them. Remember the email? Don't work with them. Don't talk to them. They had to raid them. And then they got it. There's photos from the FBI. That's out in New York. Hard drives. And boxes after boxes of hard drives. Cabinet after cabinet of that. And then they come out and tell us it's all there. Art of the deal. Load the gun, put it to the deep state head, and then make a deal for the deep state to roll over and to hand the keys over to Trump. And is Trump going to dismantle it now? We're seeing a lot of signs of that. 96% reduction in the smuggling over the border, rolling up the networks doing it. I'm not defending any of this, by the way. I'm telling you what's going on. This is the thinking. But to make that deal, they had to say, okay, we'll go out and say there's nothing there so that we can't then use it against you later. Because the bad guys say, well, how do we know if we do this, you won't alter the deal later? We want you to join the conspiracy. We want you to become accomplices after the fact. We want you to get in the swamp with us and swim around and by extension join the cult. Or you could say it's a marriage.
Seems like they would make Trump kill a kid, right? I mean, I don't know. It seems strange.
Yeah.
Anyway, this deal doesn't make sense. It kind of sounds like mob shit.
Mm.
It almost sounds like what Alex is describing is Trump taking over the globalists' criminal operation, which might be to dismantle it from within, or it might be to run it himself.
Yeah.
Given what we know about Trump and every decision he's ever made, he's going to do the thing that makes him money. So it seems unlikely that he'd want to dismantle a very lucrative and established crime outfit like this.
It would
this.
Be hard, yeah.
Generally, Alex has a single conclusion that he wants to lead the audience away from. All kinds of wild speculating and conjecture is fine, so long as it stays away from a particular line of thought. Typically, the one that lines up with reality.
Right.
In the case of, like, mass shootings, any kind of dipshit conspiracy can be entertained, but it's forbidden to have conversations about how there's too many guns out there, and how they're too easy to get.
Yep.
All narratives are okay if they distract away from that point.
Yep.
In this case, it's clear that the conclusion Alex wants the audience to avoid is that Trump has been bad all along, in no small part because that will raise questions about Alex's advocacy for him, and that's not even getting into the prophecy parts of this shit and the religious aspects.
Yep.
This is such a loaded situation, though, and the narratives Alex can come up with to try to distract from that conclusion, they're also super bad. Trump may be making a deal with the devil. He might be trying to take over the human trafficking industry. It's too much. This is too much.
Yeah.
We've gone too far.
Yep.
You can't navigate this territory.
Yeah, it is. Like, I keep bringing up different comparisons to just the same kind of cultish thing, but it is that moment of, like, all right, you have to cut off all contact with the rest of your family. If you believe that this is true, then you're ours, you know? How do you do it?
If you believe that Trump made a deal with the devil to take over this human trafficking operation, maybe to destroy it, maybe to run it, who knows? If you can entertain that thought, you should be like, I fucking hate Roger Stone.
Yep.
I hate him.
Done.
I will never speak to him again.
Yep.
What the fuck?
Yep.
He is betrayed. Because, like, you'd have to assume that Roger would know that Trump might be
of course
do something like
they
this.
They all knew this whole time.
Yeah, of course.
We all knew this whole time. They made documentaries about it.
Yeah. So anyway, Alex is not defending Trump, but he's kind of defending Trump, but he's not really.
Right. Well, a modifier is there to make sure that you do acknowledge that this thing is a thing, but it's also okay, even though that thing is not okay.
He's defending him and not.
Yeah.
I see Trump actually pragmatically believing he made the right decision here.
Who cares?
I'm not defending it. I'm not endorsing it. I'm saying, because I can hold multiple concepts and thoughts and philosophies in my mind at one time, I can hold hundreds, doesn't mean I have the one I know is right. I have the one that the Holy Spirit tells me to follow. But I can also understand this. And I understand that I am attacking the corrupt satanic system from a completely different angle of total exposure. But in Trump's position of the country and trying to stabilize the world, he believes this is the right thing to do, and he's made the decision to take control of the blackmail material on Bill Gates and the rest of them.
You don't get to be mad anymore, because it's also him.
Clicking their heels.
The rest of them is also him.
The NATO events, and just groveling to him, because Trump never met with globalists, never made deals, always was his own man. Love that was not in their club, because he understood they'd try to control him. Instead, he got in at the top of the club and took it over. Now, the question is, will he dismantle it? And the reason I'm saying I understand what Trump's doing is because so far we're seeing massive dismantlement of the real rubber meets the road of this system. They really are sending in special operations to kill people producing fentanyl. They really are stopping the human trafficking. They really are, people are falling downstairs. Let's just say that. It's happening a lot. People are falling out of windows. You know, people are disappearing. And you can say, oh my God, that's super dangerous. Well, that's what this is. And now you see real fear. When you see the Democrats, they're just the puppets, and all of them all scared and shaking. When Hakeem Jeffries did his 8-hour speech, and you look at their body language, they ain't so arrogant now, because they're picking up the phone to their bosses and they're not getting phone calls back.
I guess Alex is into extrajudicial murders of people who are producing drugs.
And sure.
I don't even know what the people who are being thrown out windows did. He's not even specifying that. I guess that's cool. That's a real states' rights kind of approach.
Consistency is key.
Yeah.
And that's what he's got in spades.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. His integrity is paramount.
I like that he's essentially written this whole world into a blaxploitation film where we start off, we've got we're under the gun. We've got stuff to go and deal with. Then we fight a criminal organization. It turns out to be the globalists. We deal with the globalists. And then, surprise, who was the final boss the whole fucking time?
Da-da-da-da.
Nixon. It was Nixon the whole time. You know, like, it's Trump the whole time. It's the same thing.
Yeah. Trump takes off his Trump mask and Trump's
absolutely
underneath.
Exactly. It's ridiculous.
The greatest thing ever is fake Sting taking off the Sting mask and it's Sting underneath. And that's what Trump's doing.
Yep.
Except Sting was a good guy most of the time.
Well,
so this is kind of splitting hairs, but it's important to recognize that Alex is still desperately trying to hold on to Trump.
Yeah.
According to Alex's story, Trump has just seized the One Ring, and Alex's take on it is, man, maybe he'll destroy it. But it's nonsense. He's just delaying the inevitable.
Famously.
And I think what's really funny about this episode in particular is that Alex doesn't have the information of Trump's response yet.
Yeah.
Of Trump being like, fuck you idiots.
Yeah.
Why are you still talking about Epstein?
I mean,
Alex is still in this pure state where it's like, if Trump responds to this well, we might get out of this. And that hope is just so misguided.
Yeah. Sometimes there is some things where it's like, I would like you to learn the one lesson from Lord of the Rings that would be very helpful for you, which is that at the end, even Frodo succumbs. You have to succumb to the ring is unsuccumbable. Mm. The only reason the ring is destroyed is because Gollum was so destroyed by the ring, he destroyed them both together. It is the ring itself will always win.
Mm-hmm.
If you are the one in control of the ring, you are not in control.
Right, right. That is true. So it's kind of bad that Trump took
it. It's bad that Trump took the ring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but there might be a way this works out. Like, if we see a bunch of human like traffickers.
Somebody bites his finger off?
No, like, well.
Well.
That's an option. But if we see a bunch of, like, human smugglers and shit all getting arrested, then maybe covering up the Epstein stuff's fine.
That's possible.
If we continue to see the arrests of the traffickers, the smugglers, you know, all that, the sex slavers, that's a good thing. If I don't see that continue and escalated and accelerated, then I am going to start taking an extremely negative view towards the Trump administration. Right now, I'm just laying out on the table what I see. and I'm going to cogitate on it and have a larger debate and take your calls and more. But all the clips, all the details, the factoids, it's all coming up. But yes, at the base level, U.S. intelligence, the CIA, heavily involved with the Mossad, MI6. And so they're like, Mr. President, it'll bring down the government. Well, the government already brought the country down. We're trying to get it booted back up right now.
What?
But that's the argument. This is too horrible. It just can't come out. Okay, but we can now have control over all these people, and they'll stop trying to kill you, and we can get our agenda through for the greater good. Trump thinks about it. But I'm sure there's more. Yes, Mr. President? Well, meet with these people.
Me.
They want you to seal the deal.
Flailing. You're flailing.
And that's it. So we've extended the sale. It was going to end at midnight last night for 2 days, and then that's it because we're close to selling out of the liquid methylene blue.
That's a good sale.
That is a good sale.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're extending it after, if it's got
too good.
It's too good to let. It's just you got to extend that sale.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God.
The Trump made a deal with the devil sale.
It is
a bummer.
It is amazing whenever some people are just like, hey, you know what? I need to take a step back. It doesn't make sense to me right now. I would not want to be, I don't know, I guess overly reactional.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps emotional immediately without putting a lot of thought into it. I don't want to be one of those guys, an Alex Jones type.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be terrible.
Sure.
Yeah. No.
I think that, I hate to say this,
no.
But I think Alex is at his best when he is not prepared at all. I think a little bit of preparation and poise is the worst thing for him.
Yeah.
He's not capable of actually getting ready and having his facts in order because he'll get distracted by literally everything.
And then he'll panic.
It'll be a disaster.
It will be a disaster.
But if he just doesn't prepare anything and is intoxicated, I think he's at his best.
Yeah.
And I think he could really speak on this stuff if he was drunk.
I agree.
Yeah.
I wholeheartedly agree because it is like it's quintessentially that if I don't prepare and I do a great job, I'm a fucking genius. And if I fail, I didn't prepare.
Right.
That is where he needs to live.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This, like mild presentation of poise is just, it's bad for him.
It is bad for everybody.
So Alex has a guest on, and it's a FBI whistleblower, Kyle Serafin.
Is he talking about the one thing that it would be really important to whistleblow on if I was at the FBI right now?
Well, he's not really at the FBI. I think, I don't remember what, maybe it was the COVID vaccine or something like that.
All
but
right.
he got leave.
Right.
He may know some people in the FBI or whatever, but he doesn't know.
Nah.
I don't think he has access to these things.
Not anymore.
So he's got a little bit of a fatalistic take on it, which is if Trump wanted this out, it would be out.
Yep.
And Alex seems to think Trump wants to get into blackmail.
There are certainly policies that are getting enacted that are upsetting people, and you can hear the screams about it. But we are not seeing that. And the Achilles heel that Trump has had has been DOJ and FBI. And I don't know if it's because he doesn't necessarily understand what goes on there or if it's just like it's so rooted in.
Well, again, I have a great crew, but if they weren't so professional and dedicated and loyal, I have no idea what they're doing, across the building.
Right.
And so Trump has millions of people under him. And I'm not trying to be an apologist for Trump. I think you're right. I think the jury's out. Well, let's see what Trump does to this firestorm now, because he said release it and do all this. And now he knows this happened? Because I mean, I think this has been a high level deal. I think he's behind it.
I think if Donald Trump wanted to see this stuff out, then he would make sure that it got out. I think if Donald Trump doesn't care if it gets out, then it probably doesn't get out. And if he wants it not out, then it doesn't get out. So,
well, why I say that.
Two out of those three mean he doesn't do it. Let me read.
Just real fast. There's three or four interviews. I want your expertise, and I'm listening to you. That's why everything you said. I know you said before. I'm listening, Kyle. I respect you.
Sure.
You're giving us your intel analyst on the ground, like reporting back what you saw. I get it. But I want you to go up, to a higher level here. I've got clips played at last hour, started the show with it, where Trump's like a year ago, well, it might hurt some people that are innocent. I don't know. Yeah, we'll probably release it. Maybe not.
Yep.
And I get from that, he's like, no, I'm going to shut this down. And I do see them shutting down a lot of the human trafficking things. But we're thinking about using it.
We're thinking about using it. What does that mean? What the fuck does that mean? We're thinking about using it.
How is it that you can be in the middle of saying words and not hear them? Yeah. You know, it is like maybe we need to have some sort of like instant playback, some sort of mandated instant playback where if somebody hears something crazy, they're like, you got to listen to what you just said because you sound fucking crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
That's wild.
The guy who you really, really want to be in power is thinking about using some blackmail.
Do you not hear yourself?
thinking about committing a crime.
All of the things that you think are excuses for why he's making bad decisions are actually the reasons he makes bad decisions.
Yeah, because he's a criminal.
They're not excuses for this situation. They are the we're in the result of them doing that. Jesus Christ, people.
Well, the real thing that leads to this result is taking the Ring of Mordor.
That does sound true.
Larger issue.
Yeah, go bigger.
I'm not letting Trump out of this, okay? It's not about attacking Trump. I haven't turned on Trump. I'm very pragmatic. I understand history. And, you know, I've read hundreds of books on intelligence. All of it's fascinating. Clearly, I know their methodology. This is the CIA comes and says, Mr. President, this was a network. It's a former project. You've killed it. But and the Mossad's involved. This will bring down the whole system. We have to do it. And it's been shut off and blah, blah, blah.
We have to do it.
That's bare minimum. I believe the signs I've seen, Trump said, no, we'll now use this against him. But that's all the deep state is blackmail. But that's not going to be done through Cash and Bondi, who I can see badly coordinated what they're doing during the headlights, that they're basically just placeholders for Fox News and for PR. And then it is the intelligence agencies that are now doing this. And they've come to Trump, who is sophisticated, and Trump has decided to use the Ring of Mordor. I mean, I'm Kyle. I'm sure that's what this is.
I can't refute it because I don't know.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure that's what this is.
Yep. So he's our good guy, mm-hmm. chosen by God, the guy that we have been standing by for 10 years. We've stood through thick and thin, through grabbing him by the pussy, through very clearly stealing an election, through pardoning people, through trying to overthrow the country, to pardoning people for overthrowing the country, etc. We've been through all of this together.
Don't forget, he also was riffing about Hannibal Lecter being a good
That's
guy.
That's right.
He had his friends for dinner.
Let's never forget that it began whenever people really heard him say, like, I could shoot a guy on the middle of the street.
Mm-hmm.
And people were like, can you believe he said that?
Let's give this guy the fucking Ring of Mordor.
Let's give him the Ring of Mordor. That's wise.
This is so dumb.
Woo.
So I do think they say one thing, or at one point, that I completely agree with.
Yeah.
And that is that both Kyle and Alex, they seem kind of like, if you guys are going to cover this up, just shut up.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Why are you out this fucking memo?
That's fair.
You were telling me during the break, I was like, hey, what's going on? Your phone's blowing up. You're saying your colleagues in the government, out of the government, they're just freaking out right now.
Yeah. I mean, like nobody would expect you to do a meltdown thing on this. At the end of the day, you're exactly right. And like I said, I once said it yesterday, and I agree with it. I'm like, why would you even touch this? Just leave it alone. This is such low-hanging fruit. You can't go out and make all these claims. You can't go out there and spend 4 years or 8 years on podcasts and interviews. I had somebody say that the guys were like that Bongino and Patel were not campaigning, but they were campaigning. One of them wanted to get a job. The other one was campaigning on behalf of Trump. Which
so this is a massive campaign promise broken.
The whole point was transparency, protect children. These are universal values that Americans hold. Like even people who I don't agree with politically, if you think that kids are, you know, that this can happen to kids, or you're okay with wealthy people getting a different, you know, set of justice, like if they get to have a different court system or things.
It means they're above the law, and it means if you study history, it's going to get worse, and we're all in danger. And then you ask, what else are they about to sell out on?
It's just everything about it. Like I said, not talking about it would have been infinitely.
When you learned this, how did you feel? I guess you already knew it and said it was going to happen. I literally got, I don't get nauseous easily. I got nauseous this morning when I was shooting a video on it. I literally almost threw up. Because it's just, I need Trump to succeed. And you know,
they just should have said nothing. They just should have said nothing. Why do you even touch this?
You know, it's strange because I feel the acting in him saying, I need Trump to succeed.
Yeah.
But he shouldn't be acting. Yeah. That should be how he really feels. He should be on the edge of tears crying because he does need Trump that bad.
Right.
You know?
Well, he's worried because of the danger that a non-Trump DOJ represents to his business.
Right.
But he doesn't want it to look like that. He wants to. He wants it to appear more existential and like God-based, and like I need Trump to succeed for humanity.
Yeah.
So the acting is changing what you're anxious about.
Right.
And that's why he. That's why that happens there.
It's so strange. You got to be able to tap into your genuine emotions, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
That's real acting.
I like that. Their take seems to be like, "Hey, why did people made a really big deal out of the Epstein stuff?"
Yep.
And maybe that was a mistake.
Yep.
But you're talking to Alex, whose career is largely based on pretending he was on the cutting edge of this stuff.
Sure.
So Alex is the one who made a big deal out of this.
Yep.
This is just an Ouroboros.
I mean, no, we're stuck in this place where we live that is essentially watching one half of the entire fucking country go, wait, it was our fault?
After...
Yeah,
people politely and repeatedly being like, "Hey, this is your fault.
Yep.
You shouldn't do this.
You shouldn't do this. It's a bad idea. This is going to happen. If you do this, this will happen, and it's going to be bad for everybody." And they're all going like, "It can't really be our fault, right?"
Yeah, we can use slurs again. Isn't it fun?
Hey.
So, Alex, you know, he's already said that Trump. I think he wants to use that blackmail.
Yeah. What? Fuck it. Why not? At this point.
Yeah.
Let's just cut to the chase. My instincts are rarely wrong, and I've got all the pieces. It would take 10 hours to get into it all. No, the CIA came and said, yeah, this is our operation with the Mossad. This will bring down the government, but we can use this now on the bad guys for control, and it's your call. Trump made this order.
That and also means that there's a new Epstein. Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's, and I think that's the big
good call
that people are not necessarily talking about. Who's the new person that's taken into that space? Who's the new person that got co-opted in and says, now you're the guy that's going
to
start?
Well, there's always been a bunch of them. So
I'm sure.
So let's go to some of these clips here.
Oh, yeah, let's. Let's not deal with the fact that based on everything you're saying, Trump is now running the
it's
new
Trump.
Epstein.
It is Trump. Trump is the guy you are describing.
Or the guy above.
Right.
You know, Trump is
above.
The guy
who appointed the Epstein.
Yeah.
What are you guys talking about? There is no way that you escape this.
There's no way also to have this conversation that they're having and not be like, man, if that's true, I'm going to blow up the White House or
right?
something.
Absolutely. We tried to overthrow the country for this guy.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. They you can't have these kinds of thoughts as being like pretty plausible. And
yeah.
maybe this is what's going on.
Yep.
And also be like... Yeah, you know, I still love Trump. I still support him. You know, I don't know.
You know,
let the chips fall where they may.
I think this is a situation where we've been done a big disservice by pop culture and cartoons in specific. You know, anytime or you know, like Bond, anytime you have a situation where walls are slowly closing in on you, perhaps with spikes, there's always a clever or inspired way to escape it.
Mm-hmm.
But in real life... If I'm building a wall slowly crush people to death machine, those walls are crushing you to death. There's no getting out of that thing. You know, this is where you're at.
Mm-hmm.
You're stuck in here. You're not going to escape this with a clever, here's why Trump did it and it's okay.
No, but it doesn't mean you're not going to try.
I mean,
if you're in that,
it's up to you.
If you're in that room, the walls are closing in.
Sure.
You're not just going to be like, oh, damn walls.
These walls are going to get me.
Right. You're going to try and do something.
I mean, that's why there's the skeletons on the spikes. Those guys tried.
Yeah.
They gave it a shot. Yeah.
And Alex is, he's
pre-skeleton.
he may be on his way towards them bones. So people who are definitely going to be bones are like Bongino.
Yep.
Pam Bondi.
100%. No escape.
They're taking the fall.
Yep.
And it's the worst possible outcome that you're going to say. There's a paragraph in that memo release that says there'll be no prosecutions, no additional co-conspirators. There was no blackmail operation after literally years of the people who are running those organizations talking about those.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a, again, a person with an 80 IQ would know just shut up if you're going to cover it up.
You're not helping!
Again,
you're not helping your case!
You're the deep state and roll over. They won't prosecute. They'll stop trying to kill Trump. But they went, okay, well, fine. We want this cut and dry. We want you to come out and say it's over. A deal was made. I think that's the only logical thing. And then obviously, Patel and Bongino and Bondi are just placeholders like you said, and Trump's made a deal with the deep state. Now,
here's my question.
Now, let's see if Trump will actually stop what the globalists are doing. Because,
well, take that further. What happens to the three that are heading those agencies that now just have the most egg on their face? What happens?
You predicted to me privately, I don't know if you want to say it now, that they're all being set up to hung up to dry very soon.
Perhaps. I don't know anybody that could look at it and say these guys are.
Well, you did tell me that about three.
Yeah, I said that. I said.
Well, I don't want to give away what you want to say.
That's true. That's true. I think Bongino's gone by the end of the year. I think that was true before this.
Well, you think other things too.
I think that Patel doesn't make it past midterms if they decide to switch over. But I also see that Patel is actually kind of useful. He's actually kind of fitting into the role of FBI director, which is a guy that flies around on a jet and defends the FBI vigorously, doesn't do anything in particular that we're hoping he does, and takes credit for things the FBI always does.
I know Alex wants to war game with Kyle, trying to find ways that Trump might be salvageable, but the more they talk, the more they make him look like a monster who set up a bunch of people in these high-level positions they were unqualified for, specifically so they could take certain falls.
Sure. Sure. Or, you know, you could just point out that you would have to be a fucking idiot to do this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's right. That's the guy I wanted.
Even an idiot would know, just shut up.
Even an idiot. Maybe I am the idiot.
Whoops.
Not that guy. Maybe I am the idiot for saying that idiot should be the president.
Yeah. And I think that Alex, like I said at the beginning of this, he doesn't have much to work with.
Yeah.
And I think that he's doing about as much as he can with what he has.
Yeah.
But as he talks through it, I think he realizes how stupid this is.
How can you not?
And so he's talking a little bit about how if Trump fails, he's going to have to flee the country. But at the same time, like, he's not a fucking idiot.
Right.
Look, I need Trump to succeed. I don't turn, tell, and run, but I'm not going to sit here and be stupid. If they're able to stop the Trump agenda and the Democrats are about to get in 3.5 years, I'm leaving the country. All right, so I need Trump to succeed. At the same time, I can't go along with evil, and I just can't do it. So, Kyle, in closing here, you know, final comments, but I just want to say that if Trump didn't give these orders, which I've speculated I believe he did, and that they made a deal behind the scenes or whatever, because they believe this information is too damaging to destroy the country or whatever, and I see that argument, I'm not endorsing it. If he hasn't done this while we've had Bondi and Patel and all them really cash hyping this up for months and now putting out this ridiculous report that 180s was already on record, and it makes the Trump administration complicit in the CIA Mossad Epstein operation. If Trump doesn't come out and say this is wrong or reverse this, then he is complicit, and I'm just processing what I'm going to have to do.
I got bad news, man.
Yeah.
So there is a feeling of him being like, I can't pretend this hard. You know, like there is a limit to how fucking dumb I'm going to let myself look. And maybe that's not true.
Exactly.
But it's what he's feeling right here.
You've got to feel it.
He's feeling the weight of this memo and how unspinnable it is.
Yeah.
He's looking to the future of Trump's potential ways out of it, like turning course and firing Bondi and all. Maybe we could get out of it that way. That's the guy in the wall room thinking he has an exit strategy. It's funny.
Yeah, it is. It is funny because it's like the one time where being the you are would have done you a huge service. Being the person who just goes, you know what? I saw it. Fuck him. We're moving on. You know, like that's you. But because you're thinking about it, all you're thinking about is ways to not be you, is ways to deny the thing that you already know you're going to do. You have to do.
I think that when Alex, I think that transition from within a couple months' time of Trump is a front man for consortiums on the West Coast, on the East Coast, and like he's mobbed up, all this shit, fuck that guy, to, Roger Stone's talking to me. I think he's actually maybe the best candidate.
Yeah.
That walled off that, like a part of himself.
I agree.
That is able to say that, fuck this, fuck this shit. And I think that this is maybe the ultimate endpoint of it. He can't just deal with the reality of we have made a conspiracy for a decade that Trump is supposed to have solved on day one.
Yeah.
And now he's saying, don't look over here.
I mean, our entire thing from the jump is that there is a global conspiracy that uses child abuse to blackmail each other. Right. And we're against that.
Unless Trump takes control.
We are demonstrably on that team.
Or at least tentatively, maybe not demonstrably.
I mean, we're
putting our toe on it.
I'm just saying that if this is the ultimate in, like, hey, you know what? Just don't look at that abyss. Mm-hmm. Don't look at the abyss. Leave it alone.
Well, like, on our last episode, we were talking a bit about Alex claiming that after the Minnesota lawmaker assassinations, everyone was like, don't question things.
Yeah.
You can't question the narrative
and
all that. And no one does that.
No.
But Trump did.
Yep.
That memo is basically a don't question this. There's nothing to see here.
I mean,
no more revelations are coming.
It was literally don't. There's nothing to see here.
This should be something that Alex is responding to as like a shutting down of questioning. And it should be like his response to it is bad, but it should be so much worse.
It's I mean, yeah. It is. I don't know. You know, I'm sure. People have got some work to do if they want me to be optimistic about how this goes in the future.
It's going to go great. So Trump probably, you know, he made a deal. He made this deal.
Yeah.
Alex has just got to be honest.
I'm rarely wrong. And it takes me a lot of data to be able to come to these conclusions. And again, we've already covered a lot of it. It would take days to go over it all. It would take days for me just to remember it all. But that's what knowledge is. You just have it. You go... I believe in Trump. I love Trump. I understand what Trump's doing. I don't agree with it completely. I talked to Roger before the election, and he said, it's the CIA, it's Mossad, we all know that. They're going to come to Trump and say it's going to bring down the federal government. You can't release this information. When Trump's saying, I'm going to release it. Then he has Bonnie and all them saying, okay, we got it. We raided it. We got it. We're going to release it. And then now they do a 180. You don't do a PR disaster like that unless that was part of a deal with the deep state of they roll over to make sure that Trump would never use it against them to say it's over, it's put away, it's done. And that means the king of England and the deal with the most powerful empire still in the world financially is those people. And that means getting all these other groups on board. And if Trump brought out all this child rape and the 14 terabytes of kids getting raped and the hundreds of victims, it would demonize America worldwide, actually the elites. I believe justice be done though the heavens fall. So that's,
do you though?
That's easier for me because I just do what I believe is right, what the Holy Spirit tells me is right, and I do it. And that's why they want me off the air because they know this guy's a loose cannon. He will, no matter, they put a gun to my head. I'm not going to tell a lie. I'm not going to, and it's because I love the truth. Now, have I lied about fooling around? Yeah, I mean, stuff like that. But I don't lie.
What is happening?
Big issues.
What are you doing? What are all of you doing?
Look, you put a gun to my head, I'm not going to lie, but if I can get laid.
What are we talking about?
Alex likes to fuck.
Oh, my God. What do I got to do for everybody to just call the fuck down?
I'll lie to women.
What? Hey, I'm not going to cheat on my wife, except when I do.
Except if I cheat.
Except when I'm
except
cheating on
there's
her.
An opportunity to cheat.
And then let me explain something to you, because here's the thing about lying, is that a lot of people don't lie, and it's easy not to lie, but when you don't want to be caught for doing something that you know is wrong, that's when you lie. Mm. And I'm great at it, which is why I'm a good person.
Yep. It's amazing. Hmm. Pretty good.
Yep.
So I think if Alex is speculating that Trump could be doing what he's doing with this deal that he's describing, he is unqualified to be a leader.
Even speculation.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. And I think that, Alex, I don't believe him because he's a liar.
Yeah.
And he says a bunch of dumb shit that he doesn't mean. But I do believe the mentality, justice come, may the heavens fall.
Sure.
In a situation like this. I think if the revelation of these secrets would undo the government, the government's got to be undone.
You would think.
Yeah. it's not a satisfactory excuse.
Yeah.
To he's kind of giving a, like, we got to think of it from his perspective. He's the president. He's got all kinds of other concerns.
Yep.
And I can't, I don't think you can lesser of two evils this. It's a matter of perspective.
It is the great expression of a certain type of person who can say, like, oh, let the heavens fall, while in the middle of doing everything possible to avoid receiving consequences that he so very clearly deserves, that he knows he deserves.
Yeah.
So you can't believe, like, hey, if this is going to take everything down, and then be like, well, no, whoa.
Justice,
I'm not included.
Unless I'm
personally affected by
unless,
it.
Unless the sales of methylene blue drop a little bit. Yeah. Then justice.
The heavens need to keep that money going. Yeah. Yeah. Jesus.
So Alex starts speculating a little bit about Trump holding a globalist at gunpoint with the Epstein gun.
Sure.
And then he gets a little bit of bad news.
Uh-oh.
Trump loaded the gun, cocked it, put it to their head, and said, you roll over, deep state. You see, I'm ready to do this. I don't know that, but that's what it looks like to me. And oh my God, now the recently released Epstein security footage is missing a full minute. Oh, they're setting up Trump. They're setting up. It's insiders. Oh, sir, look, we have this video, you know, 8 hours of it, or 12 hours of it, and, you know, all this other stuff. And oh, it's all there. No one went into the door to do it. And then there's a minute missing. Oh, my God.
Take a drink. Just sad. Just sad.
Oh, it's almost like they released a comically long amount of footage to obscure that a comically small amount of footage was deliberately hidden.
Maybe that was part of the deal with the elites that Trump made.
Yeah, strange.
Maybe he's blackmailing them still.
Could be.
I don't know. Or possibly, here's the thing that you have to take into consideration. This is inspired by Alex's wargaming strategy.
Yeah.
What if the Mothman killed Epstein?
All right.
So the footage had to be taken out because it would reveal the existence of the Mothman.
Absolutely.
And the powers that be can't have us knowing about cryptids and monsters and all that stuff. So really, we think it's about a cover-up of Epstein's, like,
right,
you know, human trafficking operation.
Right.
But really, it's about the Mothman.
I'm telling you this, right? I think, based upon how reality is conformed now to the things that Alex was lying about in the past, people are all ready for real crazy bullshit.
Sure.
Let's go with Mothman being real. Yeah. That's a lot better than a weird billionaire pedophile president.
Bring me vampires.
Yep.
Bring me zombies.
Yep.
Maybe not zombies. Vampires at least are...
Yeah, zombies are never cool.
I can communicate
with. Yeah, sooner or later you meet a cool vampire.
Yeah.
But, you know, zombies never going to be cool.
I'll take a swamp thing.
Yeah. Oh, for sure a swamp thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is bad times.
Not good.
No.
Nope.
All the stuff that's happening, it's worse than locker room talk.
Yeah.
It's Alex.
It's a lot worse.
He harkens back to that because that was apparently a low point.
Oh, boy.
I'm predicting. Roger Stone called me with the grab him by the pussy video or audio. Obvious locker room joking. Everybody knows all the women want Trump. He's never been accused of anything until he ran for office. And I said, Roger, relax. And Roger, he knew it was BS. I said, call everybody, relax. Trump's fine. This is not important. And I was right. I almost vomited this morning when I had about 2 hours to think about this. I didn't talk for hours before I said anything. I didn't make phone calls. I went and locked myself in my office. And I sat there and just thought, this is a disaster. And I don't say that to make it a bigger disaster. It is. Trump has to come out soon and say that, no, he wants it released, because you can't tee this up. Well, we got 14 terabytes and hundreds of kids getting raped. And them all, or he's got to throw them under the bus and say they were wrong.
Something's got to happen.
Yeah. Alex, yes.
This is a disaster.
Agreed.
Yeah. Alex is accurately reading a certain temperature there.
Yeah.
They're in a crisis. He's misremembering how he covered the grabbing by the pussy
tape.
A little bit. But yeah, he wasn't just like, everyone relax.
No, he's rewriting it a hair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's right that this is a all hands on deck emergency situation.
Yeah.
And Trump needs to come out and say something, and he does, and it's bad.
It's not better.
No, he
it
makes things worse.
Things.
So what do you do in a situation like this?
I would ask myself, is this a foreseeable situation that I am in?
Yes.
Is it the most foreseeable situation anyone has ever been in?
Pretty foreseeable.
Okay. Then maybe I should run away.
Running
leave the country.
Running away is an option, and it's on the table.
I would run. I but think run's the way to go.
There's a second option.
Okay, what's the second option?
Get me Roger Stone.
Oh, that's the worst option possible.
So Alex calls Roger.
Oh, my God.
And what do you know? He really wants to talk about other topics.
What a surprise.
So I think we have a massive cover-up here. And I think it is due to pressure from a number of our allies because Epstein was blackmailing some very, very powerful, important people. That is my theory. In all honesty, while all of this is very, very interesting, this past week, CIA director dropped a bombshell in which he absolutely proves that the Russian collusion hoax was exactly that, cooked up by John Brennan. James Comey, the FBI.
Roger, let's do that. We got a break in 6 minutes. I actually have it all right here, the CIA report that we all live, that we all know is true. We don't just believe the report, we know it's true. That it was run by Brennan and Obama.
Roger's doing a lot of but Obama.
I mean,
Russiagate.
It is so amazing. Like, listen, like, even during the worst bald-faced lies that have been told in any other administration in my lifetime. Even worse, like Colin Powell went into the UN and was like, they've got weapons of mass destruction. But you know what? Because they could have. You don't know. Mm-hmm. You don't know. And not everybody knew. Some people knew, but not everybody knew. Everybody knows. Everybody. Everybody already knows, man.
Well, but the issue that where you run into a tiny amount of trouble with this is that everyone knows something.
Sure.
Everyone doesn't know the specifics.
Right.
And I think a lot of the specifics are unknowable based on publicly available information.
Unhelpful to know, either.
Yeah, but you know something's wrong here.
Exactly.
Something's...
Let's focus on that. Focus on the wrong problem. Don't focus on nitpicky details. Let's focus on that everybody knows this is wrong.
Yeah.
This is the most wrong a thing can be.
Yeah.
Even Roger Stone is like, well, I believe there's a massive cover-up, even though the FBI run by the guy that I think is the savior of humanity says there wasn't a massive cover-up. Even then, I can't say that the FBI is telling the truth.
Now let's talk Russia.
Right? Yeah, that's what makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Alex is, I think, caught off guard a little bit by Roger's insistence on pivoting over to other topics. And so he's trying to talk about this Epstein stuff.
How could you be caught off guard by that? Alex, oh my God.
Naivete, I don't know. So Alex plays a clip of the press secretary taking questions about the Epstein.
While Roger Stone is there?
Yes.
Oh, God.
And Roger's response is perfect.
And since we're finishing up on that, I meant to get to this. Just play them back to back. Here's Leavitt, the press secretary, back to back being asked about this. And we'll finish up on that and move on to the big scandals they don't want you to know about. Here it is.
Of what happened.
Caroline, the DOJ and FBI have now concluded there was no Jeffrey Epstein client list. What do you tell MAGA supporters who say they want anyone involved in Jeffrey Epstein's alleged crimes to be held accountable?
This administration wants anyone who has ever committed a crime to be held accountable. And I would argue this administration has done more to lock up bad guys than certainly the previous administration. And the Trump administration is committed to truth into transparency. That's why the Attorney General and the FBI Director pledged at the President's direction to do an exhaustive review of all of the files related to Jeffrey Epstein's crimes and his death. And they put out a memo in conclusion of that review. There was material they did not release because, frankly, it was incredibly graphic and it contained child pornography, which is not something that's appropriate for public consumption. But they committed to an exhaustive investigation. That's what they did, and they provided the results of that. That's transparency.
Follow up on that, Caroline. Okay, so the FBI looks at the circumstances surrounding the death of Jeffrey Epstein. According to the report, this systematic review revealed no incriminating client list. So what happened to the Epstein client list that the Attorney General said she had on her desk?
Well, I think if you go back and look at what the Attorney General said in that interview, which was on your network on Fox
I've
News.
Got the quote.
Go ahead.
John Roberts said, DOJ may be releasing the list of Jeffrey Epstein's clients. Will that really happen? And she said, It's sitting on my desk right now.
Yes, she was saying the entirety of all of the paperwork, all of the paper in relation to
including
Jeffrey
the list.
Epstein's crimes. That's what the attorney general was referring to, and I'll let her speak for that. But again, when it comes to the FBI and the Department of Justice, they are more than committed to ensuring that bad people are put behind bars.
I mean, I'm just speechless at this point. Finishing up on this giant topic, and then and we'll shift into the other issues.
I mean, look, I think Pam Bondi's the one who has to answer that question. She also, I think, ultimately has to decide on whether we're going to indict John Brennan, the CIA director, who clearly orchestrated and pushed for the inclusion.
Thank God.
So let's start over there.
Oh, man.
You're one of the main targets, Long General Flynn. I was a secondary, but nothing like you.
So there's something to be said for character consistency. And Roger's whole thing is never play defense.
Yeah.
Always, like, make it something offensive.
Yep.
And for him to give an inch on this would be playing defense. Mm-hmm. So, no, fuck it. You know how we're going to talk about this? We're going to talk about John Brennan. We're going to talk about Russia. No, yep. Fuck this. Yep. What about this? And I can't imagine being all that surprised by that if you're Alex. But I think he is a little taken aback because for him, he gets the gravity of the situation.
Yeah.
He gets that, like, okay, I'm going to have to look like a total idiot if I'm going to stick around.
Yeah.
I am running out of runway. He sees Roger, and Roger's like, there's no fucking runway, you fucking
dick. There never was.
Yeah.
I've made it all up.
Yeah. I used to be an advocate for dictators.
Yep.
I don't give a fuck.
Never did.
Yeah. I've watched people die, I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure Roger, he has no interest in the sanctity and preciousness of honesty. He pretended to become really religious when Trump pardoned him.
Yeah, how's like, that going? He's still super religious?
Give a shit.
No.
It's all fake.
There are really few men I can think of who, like, obviously... Almost, if a hell exists, almost all of these people are going there.
Yeah, but Roger will be a king down there.
But Roger is one of the few men I could see going to hell and, like, the devil dapping him up and then being like, all right, I'll head to my room.
Yeah.
Like, it's been prepared? Yeah, I know it has. Mm-hmm. And just walk right in. Alex is getting fucked.
Yeah. There's a real dynamic that I feel between their interaction on this episode that is Alex almost having to wrestle with, like, if I keep going down this road, this is who I have to be.
Yep.
And Roger being like, yeah, no
Why
shit.
Why not? It's
no,
great.
No shit.
I got a pardon.
Yeah.
Did you not see what I did? I may have ruined the free world.
Yeah.
And I'm out here hanging out in Florida.
Nothing sticks to me it's because I don't want to let it.
It's fine.
They tried to kill me with polonium.
What are they going to do? I don't give a shit.
I like to fuck too.
None
Alex.
Of you are real. Yeah. None of you are real. Yeah. I'm Roger Stone. None of you are real to me.
Yeah. Whereas Alex is I feel like he, I can't believe I'm going to say this.
Yeah.
But there's like one tentacle that's still attached to reality. And Roger is like, you can just let go of that.
Yeah.
And that tentacle is what's causing Alex problems.
I mean, you know, there is something to be said about, the choice that we're in, you know, this is either jump off the cliff or jump off a different cliff.
Yep.
You're not staying on the cliff, man.
Yeah. Jump off the cliff and hope there's water.
Yep.
That's your real only play here.
Yep.
So Alex wants to talk about whatever else there is to talk about.
Sure, why not? But why?
So apparently Trump has come out and he's in favor of immigrant labor. And this is
surprise.
Kind of against the whole we should deport everybody
thing. Isn't that strange?
And so Alex plays a clip of Trump from a rally.
Yeah.
It's wild.
Trump always said he was going to do that. Now, I'm for a moratorium. I think we've been totally overrun. But at the same time, after he gets a Supreme Court win, after they scale up deportations, he says, listen, for people that aren't committing a bunch of crimes, you know, that aren't here, you know, committing crimes, we are going to create a system with the farm workers to come and leave. Same thing with hotel workers. He already has a system that's legal to do that. So that's exactly what Trump said. So I think I'm going to debate Nick Fuentes on this tomorrow at 1 p.m. I think it's unfair to say this is a promise broken. And he's putting huge pressure on scaling up. And he always said, that they would create a mechanism for people that aren't hardened criminals and do provide something to have a path to come back legal, but he wants that control in. Here he is in Iowa over the weekend. People are really pissed about this. I think it's a misrepresentation. Here it is.
Tom Homan. And we're working on legislation right now. Susie, right? We're working on legislation right now where farmers, look, they know better. They work with them for years. You had cases where, not here, but just even over the years, where people have worked for a farm on a farm for 14, 15 years, and they get thrown out pretty viciously. And we can't do it. We got to work with the farmers and people that have hotels and leisure properties, too.
Oh, yeah?
Work with them, and we're going to
who in specific?
Work very strong and smart. And we're going to put you in charge. We're going to make you responsible. And I think that that's going to make a lot of people happy. Now, serious radical right people, who I also happen to like a lot, they may not be quite as happy, but they'll understand, won't they? Do you think so? Madam Secretary, look at you with a white hat on. Do you think they'll understand that you're the one that brought this whole situation up?
Not a big cheer from the crowd there. I think that this is a severe miscalculation on Trump's part and a real problem that's brewing for Alex. The folks that would cheer for immigration and labor reform are the people they call rhinos, who have been labeled enemies of the West or whatever white nationalist euphemism they want to use that day. Trump has sidelined these people and elevated people who do not want immigration reform. They want all immigrants deported, and they suspect all non-white people of being immigrants.
Yep.
For most of this time, they've been able to maintain an uneasy balance between these two groups by talking in these euphemisms. Trump could say, I'm going to deport all the immigrant criminals, and the base would hear, I'm going to deport all the non-white people, while simultaneously, Alex could kind of report both.
Yep.
He could use literal language that was closer to the deporting the criminals side, while the emotion of his broadcast catered to the feelings that the base prioritized of wanting a white nationalist utopia. It's going to come to a head, though, because Trump doesn't want to deport all immigrants. He knows how severely that would disrupt the economy, and he prefers money to pretty much everything else. So, like, yeah, he's a bigot, but he also doesn't want to be the guy who destroyed the entire economy.
Like, you understand that for you, the deportations are what you think is going to bring economic prosperity to you and your people. But the reason that we have those immigrant deportations is to depress their wages and make sure that they are constantly terrified of being deported at any time.
Yeah.
Thus, when they do come, we can kind of put a lot of force on them and negotiate a lot better. So anyways, we're going to be rich forever and you're still going to see all the immigrants you hate.
Yeah.
And, sorry.
And you're honestly probably going to get a bit more of the that same kind of treatment there's hostility to your rights as a worker.
Totally. Yep.
So cool. Fuck this. But I do think that this is another kind of break in the road that is on the horizon.
Yeah.
Like, this Epstein thing is obviously like crisis level.
Yeah.
But this is something like an alliance between these two sides of the right wing that can't hold. We'll see.
Yep.
So Roger, man, he is a pro.
Yeah.
You can say what you want about him being an archdemon and all that stuff, but he's a fucking pro, and he knows what to do.
We're going to continue to watch this, StoneZone.com. Roger, thank you so much for the time. Thank you so much.
Alex, great to be with you. God bless you. And by the way, Alex, how do I explain to people that my tongue is blue? Because I love this stuff, methylene blue. I'm able to work like 18-hour days sometimes. This stuff is like rocket fuel, but my wife keeps saying, why is your tongue blue?
I didn't know you were going to plug this. And you even ordered it yourself, I later learned. What is the effect of our medical-grade methylene blue been on you, Roger?
He sounds depressed. Alex sounds depressed by Roger's plug.
Yeah.
More than like excited that Roger threw it in.
I would be, too. Yeah. I would be, too, because it's like, oh, you're doing the thing that you do for Trump, but you're doing it to me.
Mm.
But you're lying for Trump, so I don't... Roger, for the first time in my life, I'm starting to think I can't trust you.
So when we began this episode, Alex was saying that Trump made a deal with the globalists.
Yep.
And I had speculated that he'd come through the stages of DABDA.
Possible.
And reached a bit of acceptance. And I don't know if he has. I think he's a bit depressed.
Yeah.
Even with Roger plugging.
Yeah.
I think he's bargaining, trying to come up with ideas of how Trump can right the ship.
Yep.
He can throw these people overboard, or he can come out with a strong statement and we'll be able to save this thing.
Something.
And I think that he just, it's because this is a terminal diagnosis. The conspiracy world can't make it past this.
I mean, really, the moment you go, well, we couldn't find anything wrong to charge somebody with, the moment you ended any pause, this is never going to go away. If you had found some asshole, any asshole, any asshole in the entire fucking world and been like, this guy did most of it. We can't get everybody, but we got this guy. They've been like, yeah, see, we got that guy.
Or like Alex and his guests are basically saying, like, don't say anything.
Yeah, or don't say anything.
Say we're working on it.
The moment you said you don't have to question the Epstein files anymore.
Shush.
It can't be stopped. It yeah. can't be stopped now.
Yeah. It's a fundamental break in the false reality that's been created that contains all of these conspiracies yep. and Trump as God King.
Yep.
And you can't hold on to all of it because they're going to split further and further apart.
Mm-hmm.
And Alex is going to have to make a choice.
It's going
to
be. Yep.
So Trump will make his comments and we'll check in on how Alex deals.
Probably great. Probably really well.
So good.
Probably really well.
Yeah.
I think it'd be a relief. If I found out, if I was a supporter of anybody to this extent, and then this something this bad came out, I wouldn't have to even think about it. Like, oh, sweet, I can just uncomplicatedly say goodbye to this person, you know?
Yeah, you could, right? But then you'd also have to kind of say goodbye to pretending you should ever be listened to again.
That he should have been said goodbye to before. Let the heavens fall, Dan. Isn't that what he believes?
Yeah. I mean, I think he should just go to his ranch or whatever the fuck.
Run away.
Yeah. To quote Bray Wyatt.
Yep.
Run.
So we'll be back with another episode, but until then, we have a website.
Indeed we do. It's knowledgefight.com.
Yep. We'll be back. But until then, I'm Neo. I'm Leo. I'm DZX Clark. I am the Mysterious Professor.
Woo! Yeah! Woo! Yeah! Woo!
And now here comes the sex robots.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.